This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Well, when Cher is tweeting in all caps and yelling at the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, give him his effing money. Give the president his effing money for his wall to open the government. All caps, crazy Cher, craziness. You know that this has taken hold of our entire culture. At Cher, one of the nuttiest accounts on social media. Truly, if I could turn back time, I would have taken that Twitter handle just to see her freak out over somebody having at Cher. She writes, Trump, and he's lowercase, in all caps now, this is political, but real PPL people, I guess, are really suffering, ! Where was the effing crisis 1 month ago, 1 year ago, Where has it been for the last 2 years? Having said that, Nancy, you are a hero. Let him have his effing money. People will starve, lose their homes, be unable to see doctors. She's not done. Next one. Trump said Mexico will pay for it. What will pay for itself? How about billions of maintenance every year? Trump will lie. It's all caps. And say it's new self-cleaning wall, fence hedge, bamboo curtain, iron curtain, chintz curtain, Venetian blind. Stop lying and stop the effing shutdown now. Start. Snap. Sad face. Cher. So, she's not done yet. I'm sorry. Cher demands Pelosi end partial government shutdown. Fund border wall. Don't die on this hill. Don't die on this hill. So give him his money. And she's not done. Guess when you piss off your people are used by Fox's propaganda. All you can do is apologize to those who you respect and say, I have a hard time with suffering. Trump cares nothing if people have pain, heartache, deprivation. He cares about crushing people's hopes, escalating hatred, and power. I think she's done. That was her little rant there. So that's a share to Pelosi. Give him the effing money. And she probably speaks for a lot of government workers today who didn't get their check. Just give them the money and open the government up. What are you doing? That seems to be the prevailing question that's going on right now. What are you holding out for exactly? What is this standoff about? I'll tell you, here on a Friday, as we get ready for the weekend and Big Eagles game on Sunday, as we get ready for the weekend, there are people I know who are thinking to themselves, whatever wings I put out this weekend, will they be inspected by the FDA? Are my wings going to be USDA inspected? I can't answer that question for you. I don't know. Here's what I suggest to you. Smell your chicken wings before you. Listen, I used to work at a pizzeria, all right? And I used to smell, chicken wings smell horrible. They always do. When they're raw, it's a disgusting smell. It's a disgusting smell. So you really can't go by smell. You got to go by other factors. But what you should do is deep fry those babies. I mean, deep fry them really, really deeply. And then cover them with delicious buffalo sauce. And then they can't hurt you. They could still hurt you, but they really probably can't. Actually, they can do a lot of damage to you for lots of reasons. I don't know if the USDA or the FDA will be investigating or inspecting that particular chicken that's going to be on your wing plate. Several chickens, I would imagine, that would make up a plate of wings. But I don't know. But I have a feeling after this weekend's over, the playoff games, and on Monday when everybody's back talking about how the Eagles are once again on their way to the Super Bowl, very few of us will have died from eating tainted wings. Very few. Some will. Some will die. I'm just telling you now. You may be one of them. I don't know. I hope not. I hope it's someone in this audience. But some will, but not everybody, will die from eating the tainted, uninspected chicken wings. So that's good. I can't vouch for the celery. That's why I don't ever touch vegetables. Quite frankly, it's just, if you go with the celery and the blue cheese, you're just asking for trouble. I would say to you, you got a better chance of the chicken wings keeping you alive and the celery killing you. All that E. coli that's around, which they found last time they were inspecting, but the inspections didn't prevent it and didn't prevent a whole lot of people from getting sick. And when they were inspecting, people still got sick and died. My point is, if you just put your faith in government, you get what you deserve. You really do. You get what you deserve in life. I have no trust in government. I don't. I trust the people that there are a couple of bars I like to go to that have great wings. I trust them that they're going to make sure that the wings that they plop into the deep fryer are healthy, at least as healthy as chicken wings can be, by virtue of them being chicken wings. I trust them. I trust that the meat that I'll be using for my cheesesteaks this weekend will be actually untainted meat, because I trust my butcher. I don't trust that there's a government bureaucrat standing there looking at that going, I don't know, that shaved steak, I don't know, it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little gray there. But there's a lot of hysteria out there, a whole lot of hysteria. So great idea today by one of our Zioli Army members, which is this. How about the president comes out and says, we are going to have, we're asking now, the food industry to come out and start inspecting their own food. Really, start inspecting your own food. Hire people to do the inspections. Hire outside companies to do the inspections. We'll give you a tax break or something to offset the cost. And so the food can be inspected. And who knows? Maybe we won't need a government agency doing it. Think about it for a second. I mean, it's in my best interest, right? If I own Tyson Chicken, it's in my best interest to make sure nobody gets sick this weekend. So all the farms that are sending me chickens or all the chickens that I'm killing or whatever, I got to make sure it's in my best interest nobody this weekend dies from my chicken wings. It doesn't look good for business if I'm killing people. Plus, if they're dead, they can't buy more of my wings. I want to keep them alive as long as possible until their arteries are clogged, and then nothing I can do. That's my plan. So I will gladly pay the cost of food inspectors. Sure. And I know what people say. They'll say, yeah, but they'll be overlooking things because the food industry is paying them. No, genius. They won't be, because I don't want to serve people tainted chicken wings. And then after that, after we have some private people who are paid by the food industry to inspect things, maybe you don't need government inspectors. Maybe in this day and age, we don't need them anymore. I don't know. But it's an interesting idea. For example, the FDA, perhaps the pharmaceutical companies, could all pitch in together and create a co-op, when this co-op could then start looking at drugs. I mean, it's in their best interest as well to not have a drug that kills you, not have a prescription drug that does major damage to you. It's bad for the brand. It's bad for the stock price. And then perhaps, maybe, the federal government will get out of the inspecting of prescription drugs business, because there'll be a shared co-op that does it for them. I don't know. Who knows? But this is a time to be creative. This is a time to be creative and to just see what we can do, to see what we could do without government. You know, I know that the conventional wisdom among the media is to start the day by going, oh my God, we're all going to die. But I want to start the day by saying, okay, if let's say government never reopens, let's say the shutdown lasts for a year. Could? I mean, it really could. See, I don't think the president should back away from his demands for the wall money. I don't think he should declare a national emergency. I don't think the Democrats are going to yield. So keep it shut down. Keep it shut down. So then we got to get creative. We got to get creative about inspecting our food. We got to get creative about inspecting all the other things that whatever the government inspects. We got to make sure it's all taken care of. And can we do that on our own? Can we, the people, manage that? Can the states and even the industries themselves manage that? Like right now, we're policing ourselves in radio because the FCC is not all there. So we're policing ourselves. Can we do it? Can we do it? I mean, the amount of talk show hosts that have started just dropping F-bombs and letting them fly since the FCC's been... Come on. We can do it. We can, if we want to, if we have the will. I'm serious when I say this. The government could stay shut down for another year. And that means that some government workers may have to get a new job. I'm sorry about that. I feel bad. I do. I feel badly about that. But it's not my prerogative to open up government to get you a paycheck again. I know that that sounds mean, and I'm sorry, but it's the truth. My prerogative is not to open government to get you a paycheck. It's not why we have government. So assuming you don't have a job to go back to, you get another job in this booming economy, and we figure out whether or not that job was ever essential. And then from that perspective, who can do it outside of the federal government? Interesting concept. And if it's not done, then maybe we just let the good old free market handle it. In other words, if you do get sick on chicken wings this weekend, then perhaps the company that sold those wings will get into some trouble in the free market, and people suing them as well for getting them sick. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. This is going to be really new territory for us as we enter the longest government shutdown in history. How we can manage. Now, the airports. Let's turn our attention to the airports for a second, because I love all the stories about the airports and how tourism is going to be down and air safety is going to be down, all these other things. So it's a question now. You know, I've got very fond of the Philadelphia Police Department. I consider them to be one of the finest police departments in the country. I really do. I know those guys would love some overtime. So those TSA workers that aren't coming to work, those TSA workers that are not getting a paycheck, those TSA workers that are being a little bit snippy to everybody, even more snippy than usual, perhaps the Philadelphia Police take over that essential, and it is essential, airport security function. I don't know about you, but I trust them a whole lot better than the TSA. I do. I actually do. I trust cops to have an instinct of who should not be getting on an airplane. I do. I just call me crazy. And I don't think you're going to have as many old ladies in wheelchairs being frisked. Call me crazy. Call me nuts. But I just have a feeling with cops who've been on the street, who understand real life, and you put them in charge of that airport security, I just have a hard time believing that grandpa's going to have his hip fondled in a private room because they think the hip might actually be some sort of a plutonium cap or something. I just don't think that's going to be an issue. So perhaps that's an opportunity for the states and local governments to figure out airport security. And I also know there are plenty of airports in this country that are not federal airports. They're municipal airports. And while they're all under the purview of the FAA, they also have, in many cases, private contractors. They also have, in many cases, municipal airport authorities who run those airports, run the function of the airports. In our region, we have the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey that runs the major New York and New Jersey airports. I'm just curious, again, if those entities can step up and handle all the other things. And then if they can, I'm back to the original question, which is, then what do we need those federal people for? Are we just a giant employment agency? Is that the purpose of government? To make sure people have jobs? Because I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And if the job of government is to keep us safe, which, newsflash, it's not, at least not the federal government's perspective, but if the job of government is to keep us safe and the government can't keep us safe because it's not open, what do we do? What do we do? Do we all just sit around waiting for the tainted chicken wings or the terrorists to walk on a plane or the plane to come falling out of the air because the feds are not on it? Do we just wait and do that? How the hell did we manage as a nation all these years to do all of these things by ourselves and with the states without the federal government being in every aspect of our life? How do we do it? How do we manage as a country? Because I'll tell you one thing, when they debated this nation, I know that Thomas Jefferson never argued the purpose of the federal government is to inspect chicken. That I know. I know that. That I know. I'm pretty sure of that. I could be wrong, but I don't know if that actually was said during the debates of the Constitutional Convention. I should look that up before I say such a bold statement. Could you imagine? Why does a gentleman from Virginia rise? We are not creating this government to inspect chicken. Come on, people. And then, you know, Hamilton, who was much more of a big government guy, could turn around and say, do you want people getting sick on the wild card weekend? Playoff? What is it now? The playoffs? Super Bowl weekend? Something? Wing Bowl? How could Wing Bowl? We cancel Wing Bowl. Thank God. Because otherwise, who knows what would have happened to those wingettes? You know, back then, the progressive era, the early 1900s, the most destructive part of American history, profoundly changed this country forever, that period. Roosevelt was a progressive, just like his cousin. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to bust up all those big companies. You know, Standard Oil, U.S. Steel, all those big corporations. And they tried all kinds of things to do it. They went after them for being mean to their workers and not paying them a living wage. Does it sound familiar to you? Having bad conditions and not paying them a living wage. Too long of hours, unpaid vacation time. Sound familiar? And they went after all these big corporations to try to shut them down. They wanted to break them up. They wanted to bust up all of these giant conglomerates, as they called them back then. Well, Roosevelt, Teddy, his idea was, we'll regulate the hell out of them. So thanks to that quote-unquote Republican, we had all of these new laws created and all of these new agencies created. The beginnings of it, anyway, I should say. The beginnings of it. And then, of course, it balloons and balloons from him. He passes the baton to Wilson, who passes the baton to his cousin Roosevelt, who passes the baton to Johnson, to Obama, and on and on. Since then now, they've succeeded. The progressives succeeded in getting the federal government into every aspect of our lives. Do you honestly believe that back then in the 1900s, everybody was getting sick? Everybody, or you looked around, there was nobody was healthy from eating meat. Nobody. Do you honestly believe that? Do you really believe that everybody who worked at these places had horrible working conditions? The Jungle's a novel, by the way. But if you go to college, and I did, I'm not happy about it. But if you go to college, you take a political science class, you're going to read these books. And you read about how heroic the muckrakers were, exposing all the evils of corporate America as the brainwashing begins. And what you find very quickly is that the remedy to all of this, I'm sure there were a lot of bad actors back then, just there are bad actors today. But the remedy, only one remedy, the federal government has to fix it. That's it. Only one remedy. And so they're able to create all these big new laws, which lead to all these big new agencies, which lead to all these workers for the federal government who today are not getting a paycheck. And I'm just saying, we have to prepare, me and you, we got to prepare for the worst. Every person should always prepare for the worst in life. You expect the best, you prepare for the worst. This way, if the worst comes, you're good, right? You save some money, you got a little rainy day fund, you know. Maybe you make sure that if you do have a dead body in your house, you only have one, you're keeping them properly chilled, like that Democrat donor in California. But if you, because you want to be prepared, like you don't know when something's going to happen. That's why I say to you, if the government shut down for a year, what are we going to do? What will we do? So I refuse to turn around and eat tainted meat. I refuse to believe that all of a sudden the slaughterhouses are going to go back to the way they're depicted in the Jungle. I refuse to believe that. And I refuse to believe that without the federal government in all of these various things, that's the only way this plays out. Those scare tactics. But anyway, I will tell you this, though, as the shutdown continues and people are getting afraid and people are getting very, very scared, I am very happy the president is not declaring a national emergency. I really am very happy. I'm super happy with him lately. I tell you what, I mean, I often am. There's, see, some things I disagree with him on, but overall, I'm very happy. See, this week, a guy was let go of prison who a lot of us advocated for. He was in prison, and then he got out of prison, and then he was sent back to prison. His story is not alone. He's not alone. But thanks to the president's crime bill, he was able to get out of prison. We're starting to see the effects of that right now. You're just not hearing the media talk about it because, well, obviously, you know, makes Trump look like a decent guy. So they can't cover that. The other thing that I'm very, very happy about right now is that as you look at everybody talking about the border and the border wall and et cetera, going on about that, the president is trying very hard to go within the confines of his executive authority. And I salute him for that. Now, I may differ with some of my brethren in national conservative talk media, but I could care less. I always go my own way. See, this is my promise to you. And I make this promise, and I'm serious about this. I never want to put you in a bad spot. You listen to me. You trust me. I never will ever put you in a bad spot, meaning that 10 years from now, somebody will be able to play you, me, contradicting myself. I'll never do that to you. You can do that for some others, but not me. And I'll never be put in that position. To me, it's funny when you play a side by side of Chuck Schumer or the vampiric one saying the exact opposite on the wall. And so for me, from my perspective, I know that if the president declares a national emergency on the border, he's A, totally within his legal rights. B, it becomes a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And C, it will be the first time that's used for something so controversial, so politically controversial. And D, it won't be the last. It will be the beginning. See, I've had a few people on Twitter today say to me, well, the lefties would do it anyway. Well, why haven't they? Why didn't Barack Obama declare a national emergency to do this or that? Why didn't he? See, I think it's because somebody always has to be the first one. And we call it the Reed rule in the Senate. With regards to the Supreme Court, which you may be confirming another justice, God willing, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires, we call it the Reed rule because Harry Reid went first. He went first with ending the filibuster for judges. And then from there, we took it to the Supreme Court. Somebody always has to be the person who goes first. And we've not had a president use a national emergency declaration to deal with a major controversial political issue. And while you and I agree there is an emergency at the border, the left disagrees. I know that when the left gets in power, they do believe, however, climate change is an actual planetary emergency. They do believe that gun violence is an actual emergency. Now, I've had people say to me, yeah, but that doesn't mean Trump could do this. It doesn't mean that. I don't want him to be the first. I don't want him to be the guy who goes first and then opens up Pandora's box. Also, if you really do want the wall, then you should not be advocating for this. Because all this does is then go right to court. And then it's no longer about the wall. Then it's about the executive authority and blah, blah, blah. But it's no longer about the wall. And the wall won't happen, at least not for a long time, because then the court process has to play out. So, no, I want him to hold his ground. I want him to just keep going. And people have said to me, so, well, then what happens if the Democrats don't budge? Fine. Keep going. Don't give in and don't give up. Keep going. But don't be the first president to use this for something that is so politically controversial, because you'll open up the box. You'll open up Pandora's box. And I know others have said the Democrats would do it anyway, but they haven't yet. Now, they've done other things from the executive office. They've legislated from the executive office like Obama has. And I criticize the hell out of him for doing that. And in 5 years or 8 years or 10 years or whenever some lefty president decides to declare a national emergency after a school shooting and confiscate AR-15s, I want to be able to go on the radio and say, I've always been against using national emergency declarations to deal with major complicated political issues. Because I believe that they're meant for these very existential kind of issues that crop up that are immediate and have to be dealt with immediately, which is why the president's executive authority is there. If somebody also said to me, well, what if we got invaded by China? Well, if we got invaded by China or anybody else, the president has all the authority he needs under the War Powers Act and the Constitution, by the way, to defend the United States homeland. If there's a storm or something, there's all kinds of other declarations that can be made to immediately deal with funding and everything else. There's lots of legal mechanisms without having to go to that extreme. You only go there if you know there's no, once you go there, there's no turning back. Once you go down that road, there's no turning back. It doesn't mean I don't think there's an actual emergency on the border. It doesn't mean that I don't think that it is something that he's within his rights to do. I do. I just think politically it would be a mistake. We would regret it. We would regret it in 10 years. So I'm glad he's not doing it right now. And I hope that he's just really making Democrats scared. But here's the thing. I don't think Democrats are afraid of him declaring it. I think they want it. Oh, yeah, I think they do. I think that they are banking on the fact that he will, and they'll rush to court to stop it. But now he's opened up Pandora's box. So they win. They win because now the government gets to reopen. There's no money that goes to the border wall because now it's in court. And the idea of using a national emergency for something so controversial is now open into the realm of the public square. So, no, I think Democrats would love it, actually. They'd love it. We have to think long term here. We got to think of a big game here. President's right on the issue. I believe the people support him on the issue. I believe that there's no rush to reopen the government. And I believe he's going to win. Politically speaking, he's going to win. But I'm telling you right now, the minute he signs a national declaration of an emergency, it's going to court. I don't know how long that process is going to last. And I do know that in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of people very upset that the wall's not being built. That I know. And I also know at that moment, the Democrats are going to be rejoicing because they get to reopen government. And once they do, well, then they can start all of their nonsense. You know what they can start? Their investigations of the president. I read yesterday, the first thing they want to do is they want to investigate Donald Trump Jr. The first thing they want to do is call him. They can't wait to get the government back open again so they can get back into the investigation business. The House, particularly. So they're very excited about that prospect. No, the National Declaration of Emergency is a lose-lose for us in the long run. It really is. In the long run, it's a lose-lose. We're not going to get the border anytime soon. We've opened up Pandora's box. And you know how the left is with power. They're so drunk with power that if you give them this as an option to solve a major controversial issue, because that's what I mean. People send me, you know-it-alls, send me emails. There's been 31 emergency declarations. Yes, there have. None of them have been controversial. None of them have been used to deal with something so incredibly controversial politically. And I know what's an emergency, and you know what's an emergency, but you know what? To them, it's the opposite of what's an emergency. To them, oh, no, this is not an emergency. Climate change emergency. All that coal that the president's got going again. All those coal plants he's got going again. That's the emergency. All those gun-toting, Bible-toting, redneck hillbillies. That's the emergency. And we got to deal with those people. And if you don't think it can happen, I posted today on Facebook a movie that was done by the National Rifle Association, the NRA, about an actual gun confiscation program that happened after Katrina. I've got some great audio to share from that as well. Oh, no, it can happen. It has happened. It could happen again. So that's why you got to be very careful when you give government power, because you know what? Government never gives it back to you. We, the people.
Rizzioli 306, Talk Radio 1210.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.